the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, now there is, this is very interesting, there's a story today, and you're starting to see a lot about this actually, that there's legislation moving its way through the U.S. Congress about types of drugs. Now, specifically, there's an anti-heroin bill that is now passed out of the House with overwhelming bipartisan support. There's also anti-opioid hearings, legislation heading down that path as well in the aftermath of the death of Prince. Now there's new awareness about what's happening with opioid abuse.
And opioids are like Vicodin, Oxycontin,
right,
Percocet, those kinds of things.
Exactly, the painkiller type things. Congressman Bob Dole was one of the guys who was behind this, the bill, the anti-heroin bill. And this is really interesting, Bob, because I'm fascinated by what's happened here in terms of heroin. We've been talking about this for a long time. I know up in the North Shore, in your district specifically, you've been running into this. You know, kids that you wouldn't necessarily expect it to happen. Yet it is happening. Heroin is becoming widely available to kids. They don't necessarily need a needle anymore to take it. But then eventually after they do, they start on it. Then they move over toward that. And it's getting cut with all kinds of other things, right, including fentanyl.
Yeah. I mean, Ro, there's no question about it. I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about that it's coming across the border and people don't have to inject it. They can snort it. They can smoke it. So there's many different uses for heroin today. But I think one of the interesting things and why it's deemed and gotten so much attention is the fact that this knows no zip code bounds, socioeconomic bounds. This is everywhere. And we've seen that really one of the big gateways is through prescription drugs. And so we have 5% of the world's population, roughly, maybe a little bit less than that. And we've got 75% of the world's opiates that are being prescribed. We have last year they prescribed over 257 million prescriptions for opiates. And so this is a huge problem and one that we're finding. You choose to use heroin once. It is so addictive. And frankly, we find people that get off of the prescription drug abuse, and that could be athletes, it could be veterans, it could be, you know, a whole host of folks that are finding themselves in this web, this trap that we've have in essence created, and they'll turn to heroin, and it's we are losing one every 3 days in the collar counties around Chicago.
Wow.
In Cook County, we lose more than one a day. If you go nationwide on this thing, Ro, it's one every 19 minutes we lose to a heroin overdose, and there's a lot of different factors, like the opiates and the prescription drugs, which are part of that.
Yeah, they're saying first-time users have doubled in the last decade and that heroin overdoses have quadrupled. So is it because of what Ro's talking about, that they are being laced with something else, that it's a more potent drug?
Well, again, what you cut it with certainly could have a huge impact. And that we do find that is certainly one of the things that when talking to some of the police and others and some of the physicians that are, understanding what's going on. But it's also coming across the border at purity levels that are much higher than they were in the past.
Mm.
And so you're getting this really could be an intense concentration. And it does devastating things to families. And frankly, no parent should have to walk into a child's room to find that their child is gone and had an overdose. And so one of the bills that we were championing just last week was trying to make sure that they have access to this overdose antidote called naloxone, which, again, in Lake County, Illinois, we've saved over 77 people in a little over a year by the police force just having naloxone in their vehicles. So, I mean, this is something that we know is working, and frankly, we've worked with Walgreens and other organizations. Walgreens has decided to put 500 prescription take-back boxes throughout the country, and also in 36 states allowed naloxone to be purchased over the counter without a prescription. So,
and how's naloxone administered? How is that?
Naloxone. There's a couple. That's a great question, Ro. The FDA just approved a naloxone that can be administered through a nasal spray, which again, for a lot of people,
that's
an easier way for them to be able to administer it. They have actually naloxone that can be in an injectable, but it actually will talk to you, so it'll walk you through the steps to be able to do an injection. And that's one of the things that certainly we've not only been trained to use, but have helped others get trained on how to use that.
So there's like a pen that talks to you that leads you through it sort of thing?
Exactly, like a little box. You just take the thing off and it says, this is, you know, this is what you do. Put it on the outside of the thigh, you know, press down firmly, hold, and then it will count down to how long you have to hold it. And then you take it off and it's done. So it's really foolproof. And frankly, we hope nobody ever has to use it. And unfortunately, it's had to have been used many times, too many already.
Judy Pilak's got a question from the newsroom.
Congressman, don't you have fears that this drug will just cause more people to then become less afraid of using heroin because they will know that there is an antidote out there if they do happen to OD?
Well, I mean, certainly that would be one of the criticisms of this, but really we're talking about trying to reduce the number of deaths. And frankly, what the heroin actually is doing is it actually puts the receptors over your ability to breathe. And so we don't have to tell ourselves to breathe, but what heroin does is it gets that high and then it covers those receptors. So if you're losing your ability to breathe, that's a huge problem. And so we don't believe that that is necessarily going to happen. The statistics that we have thus far would lead us into the direction that that's not what's going to happen. But I have to tell you, if you're a parent of somebody that you know is suffering from addiction, which is a disease, right? This is not just a single bad choice. This is a disease at this point in time. We want to make sure that you have, like an EpiPen, we want you to make sure you have an opportunity to make sure that you're giving your child a second chance at recovery. Because recovery can be a very difficult thing. And frankly, as a father of three, I can't even imagine the pain of losing a child.
And yet it feels as if every time we turn around with budget cuts in the state of Illinois and elsewhere, we see that these types of programs that help people, young people in particular, recover, rehabilitate, that kind of thing, we deal with the drug issues and addiction, those programs are being cut. And it seems like there's less and less help for them.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why we need to make sure that these organizations that are out there helping people, and one of the reasons why, you know, the Anti-Heroin Task Force in Lake County, of which I'm a co-chair, you know, we're bringing the stakeholders together. We're bringing the police force together. We're bringing organizations like Live for Lolly and NACASA and others together. And we want to make sure that, again, we are not relying solely on state aid, but we're relying on some of the private sector to help us in this, because this is something that is impacting every single community. But your point is a good one. And frankly, we need the resources. We need these agencies that are out there solely in mind to help people get through this disease, have the resources to be able to do the job that we need them to do.
One of the other pieces of this bill, though, this whole sort of suite of legislation that's coming out is to make the drug dealers responsible for deaths as a result of what they're selling, right?
Well, so out of the House just last week, we passed 18 different bills. And I think what's important is we look at some of these different kind of avenues. One of them, no question, is about investigation and making sure that we're holding those accountable, the pushers accountable and the like. But there's really two other bigger pieces, I would argue, and that's treatment, which is absolutely vital, as we were just talking about a second ago, because we can identify it, but we need to make sure that we have the opportunity to treat. And then I think it's about education. So it is really important that we let people know, because the number of times that I talk to parents are like, look, it's not a problem here, and yet it's a problem everywhere. It's a problem at Stevenson High School. It's a problem at Nature High School. It's a problem at Deerfield High School. It's a problem up in Waukegan. It's a problem out in Fox Lake. This is a problem that knows no bounds. And so we want to make sure that we're educating people about what is around. I mean, I can just tell you, in Lake County, we have 27 prescription drug take-back boxes that are placed at police stations due to the great work that the Lake County Opioid Initiative has taken on. And they've collected 12,000 pounds worth of prescription drugs, and those are ones that actually are going to the police station to drop it off.
Right.
So, well, which is not really the convenient spot.
Well, it's interesting, because people do get legitimately prescribed those kinds of drugs after surgery or whatever the case is.
For very good reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're very, very effective, especially in you know, post-surgical and you know, post-orthopedic pain management and things like that. So, but then they have them, and then once they're past that, as long as they don't get addicted to it, and it can happen, right? And we've seen it happen to celebrities throughout the years. People, you know, start taking for legitimate reasons and got hooked on them. That's a whole other issue. But then they want to get rid of them. They want to get them out of the house so that other people don't take them. And that seems like a very, very good idea. Hey, I want to ask you this, though. This one thing that this Lolly's Law that you were behind, this had ginormous bipartisan support It passed the House 414-4. Who are those four people who voted against it, and why would they?
What was going on there?
It's obviously it's a small group. It's a small group of folks, and I think that, you know, this was talking about trying to provide some grants to some states to be able to get some education and to make sure that we were able to get naloxone out to folks, and perhaps they thought it was a state's rights issue or something along those lines.
Oh, the South Carolina delegation, as they're known, in the House of Representatives. Oh, I know who that is, yeah.
Well, I do know there was only one from South Carolina.
Yeah, I know.
I think we had Kentucky, Michigan, South Carolina, and Alabama as our four on that one.
Yeah, I know,
so
who
who they are.
I know who those folks are. I can figure that out already. Oh, hell no!
Can't get everybody on board.
Hey, let me ask you a question now. Yeah, obviously, you're heading into a very tight race here coming up in the fall. And because you're one of those guys that living on the North Shore, the 10th Congressional District, as you do, does not seem to be fertile Trump country. If Trump is the head of the ticket, are you going to support him, not support him, ask to be supported by him? How are you going to handle that?
No, Ro, I mean, I've been clear about my stance on that one. It's a personal thing. And when it comes to that, you know, for me, you know, whether it be his comments about women, his comments about Muslims, his comments about Latinos, but for me, the real kicker was his comments about veterans, and specifically John McCain, when he talked about, you know, John McCain wasn't a hero because he was shot down. He preferred those that weren't shot down. Mm-hmm. Well, my uncle was the second one shot down and spent 8 years and a day in Vietnam, in a prison camp. And so for me, that was obviously, you know, one step too far.
Right.
So people are going to make up their own thing. My goal, my focus right here is on the 10th Congressional District and trying to make sure that we're doing everything we can to be the voice of the 10th District and to be able to work to try to solve problems that are out there about the economy, about national security, about the heroin epidemic that's plaguing us, you know, about the environment, those types of things, which I think are important. And therefore, really, my focus is not going to be nationally. My focus is going to be locally. Yeah. And so we're going to do everything we can in the 10th Congressional District to make sure that the people know that we're out fighting for them each and every day.
All right. Okay, Congressman. Well stated, but I will say this, that Donald Trump has declared war against England. So you better suit up, sir. There's going to be trouble, I think, already. I don't know if you saw that today, but he's already started down that road. It's really going to be, it's going to be a very interesting next number of months. That's all I can say about this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Bro, great to be with you.
All right, thank you,
Have
sir.
Have a good one.
All right.
Okay, bye now.